Glad to see everybody out this Sunday morning. On the fifth Sunday, we normally have a certain lesson that me or Chris put together, and so I kind of find it funny that I got to put this one together because it's something that I've always had a hard time doing. Still to this day, but my parents will always get on to me. The sermon's about being still, and it's being still and no. And honestly, I come by it honestly because I feel like my parents always want to go doing stuff, so that was just, you know, put on to me as a child. So be still and know. Let's start over with Psalms. Psalms 46:10 will be where we're mainly in regarding being still. If I were to ask everybody here this morning what they would want most in life, I imagine many of us would give pretty different answers. Some would say better health, financial security, maybe a stronger relationship, less stress. Some would say more happiness, but beneath all those answers is something we all have been searching for. Peace, actual, real peace. We live in a world that constantly pushes movement. Move faster, think quicker, work harder, respond immediately, fix everything right now. People are exhausted mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Even when we sit here physically, our minds are still racing. We worry about finances, our children, maybe marriage, politics, health, our future, our failures, what others may think about us. Our phones are never stop buzzing. The news never stops reporting bad things. Social media constantly reminds us of things that we don't have. Our schedules are fully backed. Our responsibilities are endless. Our minds are always racing, and because of that, many people today are physically exhausted, overwhelmed, emotionally drained, maybe feel empty. We are busy, but we are not peaceful. We are connected, but we are not calm. We are informed, but we are not secure. It seems though every day brings another reason for us to worry. Another reason to fear, to be anxious. In the middle of all that noise, God speaks. Not with panic or fear. Not with uncertainty, but authority. Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." What makes this verse so powerful is where it is found. In this psalm, it does not begin with peace. It actually begins with chaos. The earth is shaking, the mountains are falling, waters are roaring, and nations are raging. Kingdoms are collapsing at this time. Everything appears unstable. Everything appears uncertain. Yet right in the middle of all of that, God says, "Be still." Does that sound familiar or relative to today? God was not telling his people to ignore reality. He was telling them to remember there's a greater reality. The storms may rage, the mountains may fall, the nations may tremble, but God is still God. The phrase "be still" literally carries the idea of letting go, relaxing our grip, stopping our striving, ceasing your frantic attempts to control everything. In other words, stop acting like we are God. Remember that He is. That's a challenge for every single one of us. Because when life gets difficult, our first instinct is usually not trust. It is control. We want answers, solutions. We want certainty. We want everything fixed immediately. And when we do not get those, anxiety begins to grow in us. But Psalms 46 reminds us that peace is not found in controlling our circumstances. Peace is found in trusting our God. This morning I want us to learn 4 lessons from this powerful command. Be still and know that He is God. The first lesson that we need to learn is before we can do that, we have to recognize that God remains in control even when life feels completely out of control. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. Turn with me there. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. We have the sons of Korah, and they're speaking to the people of Israel and the future leaders, of course. And he's reminding us that God's people, that he remains their refuge even when everything around them appears to be collapsing. 1 through 3, this is what it reads. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear through the earth, give way through the, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble out of its swelling. Salah. Now notice the language. The earth gives way, mountains move, waters roar. The imagery is one of complete and total chaos. The thing that appears permanent are suddenly unstable. The things that seem dependable are suddenly uncertain. And it isn't that exactly what happens in life, right? A doctor gives a diagnosis, a marriage struggles, a job disappears, a loved one dies, a child goes astray, one phone call can change our life forever. One moment can shape our entire world. Yet the person in Psalm says, God is our refuge. Not was, not might be. Is. Present tense. It's constant, reliable, and unchanging. Turn with me over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God's speaking through Isaiah in this. He's speaking to the nation of Israel because they're facing fear and uncertainty about their future. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right hand. Notice God's answer to fear. He is the answer to fear. He does not remove every obstacle. He does not promise easy circumstances. Instead, he promises his presence. Fear loses its power when faith remembers who God is. Turn with me to the New Testament of Mark. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. In Mark 4, we have Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. And it's to demonstrate Christ's authority over creation. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. This is what it reads. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filled. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with the great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Think about these specific disciples. Many of them were just fishermen. These were not men familiar with storms, yet this storm terrified them. They thought they were going to die. Meanwhile, Jesus was just chilling and asleep. The disciples looked at the storm. Jesus looked at the Father. The disciples measured the size of the waves. Jesus measured the power of God. And when Jesus stood and spoke, the storm obeyed. The sea recognized its creator. Many of us spend our lives staring at storms. We focus on the diagnosis, the bills, the uncertainty in the future. The problem grows larger because we stare at it so constantly. God is calling us to look beyond the storm and remember who controls the storm. Faith is not believing that there are no storms. Faith is believing God is greater than every storm. Now, once we understand God's in control, we can begin trusting something else that is often difficult for Christians. It's God's timing. We need to be still and trust in God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3, turn with me there. The short verse, but in Ecclesiastes 3:1, we have Solomon, and he's speaking to the people of God. And he's teaching that God works according to the appointed seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." We live in an age where we want immediate answers. God often works through seasons. We pray today and we want results tomorrow, but God sees what we cannot see. He sees next year. He sees 10 years from now. He sees eternity. Turn with me over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. We have God speaking through Habakkuk, and he's addressing Judah. And they're assuring them God's promises would come at the appointed time. Chapter 2, verse 3, this is what it reads. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. If it will surely come, it will not delay. Habakkuk wanted immediate justice. God told him to wait. Waiting is one of the hardest acts of faith. Anyone can trust God when he answers quickly. Faith is proven when answers seem delayed. We have John 11. This is about the entire chapter of John 11. We have Jesus through accounts. It's talking about Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and all the other disciples. And it's revealing God's perfect timing. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in chapter 11, we have Martha. She said, Lord, if you have been here. Can you hear that pain? Lord, if you have been here. Can you hear the disappointment? Jesus, where were you? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you answer sooner? Many Christians have said the same questions. But Jesus was not late. Jesus was working. If he had arrived sooner, he could have healed Lazarus. By arriving later, he demonstrated power over death itself. The delay served a great purpose. Abraham waited decades for Isaac. Joseph waited years in prison. David waited years to become king. The apostles waited through their own persecutions. God often works slowly because he is preparing us while he prepares the answer. Sometimes God changes circumstances. Sometimes God changes us. Both are victories. Being still means trusting God's calendar when we cannot understand it. Trusting God's timing naturally leads to another lesson. We must learn to stop talking long enough to actually hear what God is saying. Which brings us to the third point. We need to be still and listen for God's voice. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13. We had God, and he's speaking to Elijah, and he's encouraging a discouraged prophet. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. This is what it reads. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind on an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah was exhausted. He was discouraged, afraid, just ready to quit. God sent him wind, an earthquake, a fire. Yet God was not in those things. And came a still, small voice. Sometimes God speaks most clearly when everything else becomes quiet. Turn with me over to Luke 10. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. We have Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to Martha. And he's teaching them about proper priorities. Luke 10, 38 through 42. This is what it reads. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was busy. Mary was listening. Martha was distracted. Mary was focused. Many Christians are Martha, busy for Jesus, but rarely actually sitting with Jesus. Turn with me to James 1. James 1, verse 19. We have James speaking to the Jewish Christians scattered abroad. He's teaching the spiritual truth. James 1:19. This is what it reads. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Listening requires humility. Listening requires patience and stillness. How much time do we actually listen to God? Not talking, not scrolling, not watching, not worrying, but actually listening. God speaks through me. Yet many Christians spend more time on social media in a week than they spend reading the scripture in a month. No wonder anxiety keeps growing. No wonder faith struggles. No wonder peace disappears. Because still means opening God's word and letting him shape our hearts. When we trust God's control, trust his timing, and listen to his voice, one final truth actually remains. The battle ultimately belongs to him, which brings me to my fourth point. Be still because God will win. We've read it earlier, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the world and the earth. Notice what God says. I will be exalted. Not maybe, not perhaps, will. It's settled. Philippians 2. Turn with me there. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. We have Paul speaking to the church of Philippi. And it's showing, it is to show Christ's ultimate exaltation. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. This is what it reads. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. History is moving forward one destination. Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn me over to Revelation. Revelation 19. Revelation, John recording what God has revealed to him. It's written to the church. The church is facing persecution, and it's to remind believers that Christ will win. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. This is what it reads. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and a name by which he is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rome looked powerful, but it fell. Babylon looked powerful in its day. It also fell. Egypt looked powerful. Had the same destination, it fell. Every kingdom eventually crumbles, but God's kingdom remains forever. The world often appears dark. Evil seems to prosper. Truth seems ignored. Righteousness seems mocked. But we already know the ending. We know who wins. We know who reigns. We know who will be sitting on the throne. Being still means resting in God's victory before we ever even see it. In conclusion, the command to be still is not a command to stop or quit. It's a command to trust. When life feels out of control, be still. When God's timing makes no sense, be still. When the world gets louder, be still. When fear overwhelms your heart, be still. Not because the problems are small, not because the burdens are light, or because the storms are imaginary, but because your God is greater than every single storm. The same God who calmed the sea, the same God who raised Lazarus, the same God who spoke to Elijah, the same God who reigns over all nations. that God is our God. And he says, be still and know that I am God. Maybe this morning you can carry burdens. God never intended for us to carry that. We are to give him everything. We're to give all of our burdens to him.